Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, the sixth book in the Bible. And we're looking for Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14, we're going to begin reading in verse 6. It's good to have our daughter with us. She's a good-looking one. She looks just like me. She looks like her mama. But good to have her with us. She's staying over while I go in the hospital Tuesday through Friday for this AFib that I have. They're giving me, I guess, two pills a day. I don't know what it's supposed to do, but it's supposed to do something. So I'm going in for that. Hopefully get out Friday. And my daughter's here to stay with Mama. So help her out, get back forth to the hospital. And that's what they're telling me now. I got a feeling it's going to be out shopping. I won't see them for 4 days. That's just my theory, but I think there's a possibility that that's happening. So anyway, good to have her with us today. All right, Joshua chapter 14, if you'll look at verse 6 with me. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. For so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we thank you so much for your working in our life. May we say that we thank you for your word. And Lord, it matters not what we say or what we think. It matters greatly what God's word says. May we align ourselves with it today. May we be encouraged today. May we be challenged today. May God, you speak to our hearts. We need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from you this morning. And so, take your word and give us ears to hear what the Spirit will say to us today, and we'll thank you for it. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 40 plus years ago, in a bus ministry in Pontiac, Michigan, we would often sing the song, I Want That Mountain. It comes from this story right here. It goes, I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escu grow. I want that mountain, the mountain that the Lord has given me. I want that mountain. Of course, that time they were talking about your bus route. You want to look at it and say, I want that mountain. I want God to bless that bus route. I want to knock on doors and talk to people and get children in and get moms and dads in. That's my mountain. I want that mountain. What's your mountain this morning? What is it that you need God to do for you? What is it that God can work in your heart and in your mind today that you can get that mountain? Now, the mountain that he's talking about here is the Mount of Hebron. Joshua and Caleb, they went up with 10 other men to spy out the land. You can go back and read it in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, how they went to spy out the land. They started out south in what was called Kadesh Barnea. And they actually went right up through sort of the middle of what we would call Israel today. And it's like a spine that goes up through there. It's a mountain ridge or mountain high place all the way up through there. And you get up past the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea as it's called. If you look on a map and in the back of your Bible, you'll find Hebron, about middle ways of the Dead Sea is Hebron. That's a high area there. They say it's about 3,000 feet in elevation. It's also the place where the Anakims live. You know what an Anakin is? They were the giants in the land. Now, I don't know. Maybe he's just crazy. I'm not sure. But Caleb said, I want that mountain. I want that one that's 3,000 high. I can just see all the area around there. I want that mountain. I know the Anakims live there. I know it's the giants of the land. And as we read there, they had these fortified cities. It's not that you just go in and take them. You had to get beyond the walls. You had to get beyond that fortification. But he said, I want that mountain, the mountain that the Lord hath given me. What's your mountain this morning? We all have mountains that we need. It actually speaks to us as being in the will of God. A lot of people, and there's even songs out there that are sung like, going into the promised land is like going into heaven. And that isn't what the promised land is. I'm not planning on getting to heaven and find out I got to fight giants. I don't know about you. I'm not going to heaven and find out I have to tear down a wall to get into that city and kill those people so I can have it. No, no. The Bible says that Jesus cried out, it is finished, and then went to sit on the right hand of the Father in heaven because it is finished. I don't have to fight any battles to get to heaven. I just need to go there. But I need to walk in the will of God. I need to be where God wants me to be. I need to be on my mountain, so to speak, in the will of God for my life. The will of God for my life is similar to the will of God for your life in many ways, but then there is some areas of life that are different. There's areas of life where God wants you in the center of His will doing something, and God wants me in the center of His will doing something. And it may be that's something different. Caleb didn't say, I want the whole area. Caleb said, I want that mountain. I want that mountain that Moses had promised me. I know it's got giants in it. In other words, I know there's the trials, the tribulations, the problems, the situations. Any of you have any of those in your life? I've had a few. I'm sure I have a few more coming. But he said, that's all right. I just want to know that I am where God wants me, doing what God wants me to do for my life. I want that mountain, that place that God has given me. And so, this Hebron, this high place, this mountain range, again, speaks of God's will for Caleb. And do you know what the name Caleb means? The name Caleb means wholehearted. Boy, wholehearted. It's interesting that's the man's name that's given these verses to us here today, because over and over again, he talks about being wholehearted. I'm afraid today that too many of us, and I have to throw myself into that group, sometimes we are half-hearted in the will of God and the work of God. And God wants us to be wholehearted. That doesn't mean that we all have to come up here and preach the Bible, or we have to go off into mission somewhere, all that. That isn't what God's asking His people to do. He's just asking us to walk in His will. Be where He wants us to be, doing what He wants us to do. And I can't tell you what that is for you. That specific path that God wants you to have. You see, there was 12 of the tribes of Israel, and each one of them would have a place. And some of them would be close to the Mediterranean Sea. Some would be in another area, a level area. But Caleb said, I want the mountain. I want the Mount Hebron. I want it where the Anakims is. And I imagine all the other 11 tribes said, you can have it. What I want. But you know what it represents? It represents God's will for Caleb's life. And Caleb believed that God could do it. He wasn't trusting himself, but he was wholeheartedly trusting in the Lord. Notice with me, if you would. Look with me at verse 8 here. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but notice this, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. He was a wholehearted believer in God. Notice verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Why? Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Then go down, if you would, to verse 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day. Why? Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He was a man that wholly followed the Lord. Don't be a half-hearted Christian. Be a whole-hearted Christian. Don't be afraid to say, God, what should I do in this situation? Don't be afraid to say, God, it's morning. Here I am. The day before me. These are my plans. But God, I want to wholly follow you. I want to do, Lord, what you want me to do. So be free to change my schedule. Be free to put in my path those things that sometimes I might say, oh no, I'm never going to get anything done because now I got this to do. It may very well be that God wants you to do it. Get an attitude of wholly following the Lord God. I got this to do now, so I need to do it for the Lord. I need to do that which is right. That which God would have me to do. So what I want to do this morning, just three simple thoughts or truths that I want to give you. As Caleb was, I want us to be a person that makes right choices by wholly following the Lord our God. Don't be a half-hearted Christian. Notice these three things this morning, and they'll go quickly. Number one, notice his character. We think about, how in the world can I be in the will of God? What is it I can do? Maybe I can get the easiest way. He didn't choose the easiest way. He said, I want Mount Hebron. I want where the Anakins live. I want where they've seen those walled cities. I want where the other says, we can't do it because of these. He said, I think I can do it because God is with me. Holy, follow the Lord. His character is shown in this. Notice these things about his character. Number one, he was honest. He's honest. You and I need to be honest. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with God. We need to be honest with others. Notice what he says in verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Did you catch that? I brought him the word again as it was in my heart. He didn't say, I didn't worry about what I saw. I didn't worry about the things that were going on. I didn't listen to what everybody else said. What was in my heart, I gave it through my mouth, my tongue, spoke what was in my heart. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We need to be honest with ourselves. You say, well, I've got this problem. Then be honest with yourself. What your problem is, what your thinking is, what it is that guides you. We need to get our heart right with God so we can be what? Walking in the will of God. The heart is important to us. Proverbs 16:23. Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, said, the heart of the wise, listen to this, teaches his mouth. The heart of the wise person teaches his mouth. You ever say something you shouldn't say? Well, be careful. It might have been in your heart before it got in your mouth. Amen. Be careful. It might have been in your heart before it was on your tongue. And if that's the case, say, God, help, not help my mouth, but help my heart. I need that heart change. Be honest with yourself. This man was honest with the Lord, honest with the people around him, honest with Joshua. He said, I spoke what was in my heart. Notice another thing about this fellow that would be good for us. He was charitable. He was charitable. Look at verse 8. Verse 7, he said, I was 40 years old when he went up, and he was a servant of the Lord. He started in Kadesh Barnea, down there in the southern land, and they walked up through to see what the land was like, to spy out the land. And he said, I brought Moses and the Lord word again, as it was in my heart, but nevertheless, see that word? Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, all right, let's all hold our ears, because he's going to start cussing here, you know. He's going to start saying some pretty mean things about these guys. You know, what do you mean? Well, because of what they said, they discouraged other people. Because of what they said, they brought an evil report. Because of what they said, they were dishonoring God. They were even dishonoring Caleb's testimony, because Caleb said, what? Let's go up and take it. The Lord's given it to us. And they said, what? We can't do that. There's giants in the land. There's walled cities that we'll have to tear down. They are stronger than we. We're like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Not only that, back in Numbers 13 and 14, what he said? We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. We're just little guys. We can't do it. And by the way, it's right. They couldn't. But that wasn't who Caleb and Joshua was trusting in. They weren't trusting in themselves. They were trusting in the Lord. They said, let's go take it because God has already given it to us. And so now we have here, he says, nevertheless, my brother that went up with me, look at this, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord. There's something that I caught in here that maybe you didn't catch. Although his companions in that spy mission brought back an evil report, discouraged the people, dishonored God, and even hurt his own testimony, you know what he did? He called them brethren. I don't know how often we have Christians that look down on Christians. How often we look at one church or another church, and I'm not talking about liberal, you know, churches that don't even know who God is. I'm talking about just good Bible teaching church. One looks on the other, or a Christian looks down on another. You know what? Have you ever climbed up a mountain or climbed up an incline, going up a little bit, and you had to watch where you're going and all that? Maybe you even have to reach back and help somebody else to get up there. You know, that's exactly what we Christians ought to be doing. We ought to be helping the other. Do you know why children are afraid of riding a bicycle? You know why? Well, you can give a lot of reasons, but let me tell you the number one reason why children have a hard time riding a bicycle. They've never rode a bicycle before. Wow. You don't get that in every church, all right? These truths that I'm giving to you. They never done it before. So it's all new to them. You know, what are they going to do? You know, it hadn't been that long ago they were trying to figure out how to balance themselves on their feet. Now you're telling me to put me on a two-wheeler and send me down the road. I remember my daughter, the first one she had, a little blue bicycle, I think it was. I said, I'm right behind, just hold on. Oh, no, daddy. Whiny kid, she always was. But I'm kidding, of course. But hold the back of her seat, and I'm holding it, and the next thing I go, I let go of it. She's going down the street. Any of you ever done that? I'm always a mean guy. Shove them off. Yeah. Need to learn how to swim. Go ahead. Kick them in the pool. No. We had to run down and catch her before she realized, you know, she's going to fall off or whatever. But you know why they're worried about that? You know why they're afraid of that? Because they've never done it before. You remember when you learned how to drive? You remember getting into that? I remember my brother, he's 4 years older than I am. He had a 57 Ford. It was a two-tone. It was a blue and a white Ford. He had taken the shifter off of the column. This was back in the 60s. We did these crazy things. Took the shifter off the column and put a hearse shifter through the floor. So I could shift it on. I want a floor shift, you know. He goes down the road, going out of the little town where my wife was from. And we turned and went up what they called Lake Alma Road. There's a lake up there called Lake Elm. And there was a quarter mile stretch. You know what guys did on the quarter mile stretch, don't you? But we turned, and when we turned, and he looked around, nobody was around, he put it in neutral, and he said, slide over. And I said, what? And I slid over, and he said, you need to learn how to drive this thing. Look, you got to hang on to the steering wheel. You got to shift the shifter. You got three pedals down there you got to figure out what to do with. Man, you know, this is rough, you know. And you got to let that clutch out a certain amount, and you got to push on the gas a certain amount and take off, you know. And then once you get up so fast, guess what you got to do? You got to shift the thing. You got to start all over again. I was scared to death. You know why? I never done that before. You better go back here in Joshua. Matter of fact, let's just, since it's right here, just kind of flip back with me to Joshua chapter 3. Notice what it says here. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua 3:1. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Chittim and came to Jordan. They're going to cross the Jordan River into the promised land. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over, before they went over to Jordan. Came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. You're going to follow it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. Why do we need to follow this? See the end of that verse? For ye have not passed this way hitherto. You know, as a Christian, as I've grown as in my Christian walk, I've learned some things. I know there's a pitfall over here. I don't want to go that way. I know over here it looks good, but it's not where God wants me to be. I realize what the Bible says about things that one time I did not do. When my wife and I first got saved, we didn't know nothing. We just didn't know anything. And so we got saved, and we actually lived about 80 miles from the church from which we got saved. So we're kind of out here like lambs to the slaughter, so to speak. I mean, we didn't know what to do. We did start reading our Bible because they told us to start reading them, our Bibles. And so gradually we grew. But you know what? We did things and so forth that we shouldn't have done as a Christian because we just didn't know any better. And what we needed was somebody to take us by the hand and say, no, don't do that. Look out for that. What I'm saying is that Caleb looked around because he was a man who had wholly given his heart to God. He didn't let them have it for what they did. He said, listen, give me what I want. I want to be an example for what you need to do. And we need more Christians like that today. We have to, the old statement, the Bible-believing Christians are only one that shoot the wounded. There's some truth to that. You and I need to realize that some people are not where they ought to be with the Lord, but it's not just because it's their fault. It's because they need somebody else to reach out and say, come on with me. Let's go this way. They need that helping hand. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, charity, which is love, of course, suffereth long, is kind, is not easily provoked. If you're walking down that mountain that you are on, thank God that you're there. But don't walk around like this. Walk around to say, is there somebody I can help get on this mountain with me? Is there somebody I can help move along in their Christian walk? Don't get upset with those who are not with you. Maybe they just need a helping hand. Help them. Help them to do better. You know what? I like to walk with other Christians. But we all need to walk in the will of God. Children are scared to ride bikes because they never did it before. But once they get it done, then guess what happened? You know, when I learned how to ride a bike, guess what? Then I taught my children how to ride a bike. And I suppose they've taught their children how to ride bikes and whatever else. It's one helping the other. We need that in Christianity today. We need people helping people to get where they need to go. You know what my job is as a pastor? Is try to help you get where God wants you to be. Yeah, but preacher, last week you preached something and I didn't like it. Maybe God was saying, you're going in the wrong direction. Get over here. If it was what God said in His Word, we need to obey Him. It's not about me. You know, what do I know? But God says it. We need to believe it. That's what Caleb did here. He was a honest believer. He was a charitable believer. Not only this, but he was a devoted believer walking with God. Notice, if you would, verse 8 again. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. He said, the brethren went up with me, but they said the things that they shouldn't have said and done the things that they shouldn't do. But I want to tell you what I did. I wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb had a different spirit than the rest of them. Now, if you want to hold your spot there in Joshua, you can, and turn back the Numbers. If not, that's fine. Just listen to what I'm saying here. But in Numbers chapter 14, this is going back where they told them to go in and spy out the land. So I need to run back there just for a moment to show you what I mean here. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 23, it says, surely They shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. This is the all the rest of them came back and gave a bad testimony of what the land was like. It's full of giants. It has walled cities. We cannot take this land. And so there would be what? 10 out of the 12 gave what they called an evil report. And God said, well, fine, you're not going to go into the land then. You don't believe that I can give it to you. You don't believe that I can help you win over that land. And so he says to them, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But look at verse 24 of Numbers 14. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. I don't know about you, but my desire is not only that I wholly follow the Lord, I want my children to wholly follow the Lord. I want my grandchildren to wholly follow the Lord. I want this church to wholly follow the Lord. Do we always do it? No, and I'm sure Caleb didn't always, but that was in his heart. That was his desire. He didn't want to be a half-hearted believer. He wanted to be a whole-hearted believer. And you know, God's seen that. We've just been studying David in Sunday school. Did David always do everything perfect and right? My goodness, no. And yet, David was a man after God's own heart. God isn't asking you to be perfect. God's just asking you to wholly follow Him. Seek His will. You're going to mess up now and then because we're not God. We're not perfect. But we can get back on track. We can continue to move forward. We can do what we ought to do. What is that? That is being a devoted believer. Caleb was devoted. I followed the Lord my God. He followed the Lord, just as you and I should. If God said it, then it's right. And I need to do it. Caleb accepted God's will. He accepted God's word. He did what God would have him to do. So number one, his character. He was honest, charitable, and devoted. Number two, notice not only his character, but look at his faith. Look at verse 9 again in Joshua chapter 14. Verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. You know what he did? Listen to this. He recalled the promises. He recalled the promises of God. Somebody said that there's 300 promises in the Bible. Then I read somewhere there was 3,000 promises in the Bible. To be honest with you, I have no idea how many promises are in the Bible. I believe there's a lot of them. And yes, I can maybe name some of them. But the point is that he did what? He recalled what God had said. He recalled the promises. Sometimes we get out there in the middle of nowhere and we're not sure what we ought to do. Now might be a good time to recall the promises of God. God said, I will be with thee. I will never forsake thee. God will take you through the dark times of life. He will show you the way. His word is a lamp and a light unto your feet, unto your path. Recall the promises of God. That's exactly what he did. When you see the giants, when you see the obstacles, the enemy, when you see that there's a battle to be fought, what do? You have to walk by faith. Can't walk by sight. I'm sure that Caleb, when he seen that mountain and a beautiful vista, oh, it looks so wonderful. Whoa, look at those guys. Those fellows are a couple feet taller than we are. Man, they're much bigger than we are. Whoa, look at those cities out there. Look at those thick walls and all that armament they had. And we're supposed to take this land? You know what Caleb said? He took off my glasses. I'm not going to walk by sight. Where did you folks go? Oh, there you are. I'm not going to walk by sight. I'm going to walk by faith. I remember that God said, I'm going to give you this land. That's what we have to do sometimes. We just have to walk by faith. Remember what the Lord said at the end of Matthew? Told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, means proclaim the word of God. Remember the last part of that? And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. Sometimes we just have to recall the promises. And sometimes we have to claim the blessing. Look with me at verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how that the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. Look at this. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. You know what he did? He just claimed the promise. He claimed the promise. He recalled the promise, and then he said, I think I'll just claim that promise. God said it. I believe it. Folks, that just settles it right there. Caleb received from God what he believed and trusted God said he would do. What did he receive? He received the mountain. I want that mountain. What mountain? The mountain that God promised me. I believe he said it, and I believe he can give it. So he got that mountain. Now, that's number three, and we'll close. Number one, his character. Number two, his faith. And number three, his testimony. His testimony. I read about one preacher was in a room with another fella, and the preacher turned around and said, I have to go. He said, where are you going? He said, I got a meeting, and I'm going to preach Jesus. The other fellow looked at him and said, I trust the Lord will be with you. The preacher, as he headed out the door, said, well, if he isn't, I shall speak well of him behind his back. That's what old Caleb did. He just spoke well of the Lord. Was the Lord there or not? I think he was. But Caleb said, it doesn't matter. I'm always going to speak well of him. Caleb spoke well of his Lord. God's notice these three things, and we'll close right here. We'll pray. Just three quick thoughts about his testimony. We see Caleb spoke well of God. God's faithfulness. Look at verse 10. He said, behold, the Lord hath kept me these 45 years. What that means? Well, he's 40 years old, he said, when we went to spy out the land. Now it's been 45 more. He's 85 years old. He said, I'm as strong as ever. Was he strong physically as he ever was? He may very well have been. I'm not doubting that. But we need to, I'm 70 years old, and no, I'm not as strong as I was when I was 40 years old. I understand that. But I can be stronger spiritually than I was 40 years old than now that I'm 70 years old. I think Caleb might have been just as strong physically as he was because God's able to do that. But not only that, he knew more about God now than he ever did, and he had trusted the Lord, and God had done what he said he was doing. He recalled his promises, and he obeyed his word. He wholly followed the Lord. Let me tell you, what is it that God has said that he hasn't done for you? I can think of a lot of people and a lot of situations where things were said and so forth that did not happen. They promise you. They say, you know, do this, do that, you know. But there's not one thing that I can think of that God has said that hasn't kept. Not one thing that God says in his word that hasn't come true. And I believe it will continue to be true. Caleb spake well of God, of God's faithfulness. Not only that, but God's goodness. Verse 11, I am as strong this day. How can you be strong as a young Christian as you grow old? The joy of the Lord is my strength. the Bible says. A strong, healthy Christian is a witness to his or her walk with God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, the Bible says. So God's faithfulness, God's goodness, and last of all, God's power. Verse 12, he said, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. One thing I love about the Bible, it just tells it the way it is. Some people say, I like to be like Moses. Well, I'll tell you what, Moses had his enemies in Egypt. They tried to kill him. How about Joshua? He had his enemies in Canaan. Or how about Daniel? Daniel in Babylon, they did throw him in a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Jesus himself had his enemies in Jerusalem that wanted to kill him. Or the Apostle Paul had his adversaries. Folks, listen, we'll have those that are against us. We'll have those who do not like us. But we have a God that loves us. If you serve the Lord and you walk in His will and His way, there's going to be enemies along the way. There's going to be people that don't like you, don't care for you, will say things against you. Why? Because you're honest, you're charitable, and you're devoted to the things of God. You know, when I die, I don't want somebody to lean over my casket and say he didn't have an enemy in the world. Don't say that about me. Well, why? You want it? No, I don't want enemies, but I know if I stood right where God wanted me to be, then there is going to be enemies. Somebody said it, and I think there's some truth to it, that you can gauge a person's stand for Christ by the enemies that they have. Some people don't like you. Why? Because you're a Christian. Some people don't like you. Why? Because what you believe in and how you live your life. You're going to have those in your life. Somebody said, ask the question, no enemy? Thy boast is poor. You've hit no traitor on the hip. You've dashed no cup from perjured lip. You've never turned a wrong to right. You've been a coward in the fight. Yes, we're going to have enemies. Those who will go against us. Caleb faced the enemy. Caleb faced the daunting task of Hebron. You know what Caleb said? I want that mountain. The mountain that the Lord has given me. Do you want a mountaintop walk? You want to help others reach that victory in Jesus Christ? Then you need to wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord. He said, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. Because that he wholly followed the Lord, his God. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow. Where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain. The mountain that my Lord has given me. Don't be a half-hearted Christian. Be a whole-hearted believer in what God can do. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of your people here today. As far as we know, we believe that all people know the Lord that's here this morning. But we never want to take for granted the fact of salvation. Maybe, Lord, you spoke to a heart this morning. Said, I can't wholly follow the Lord. I have a question about my salvation. I'm not sure what it means to be saved. I don't remember that time in my life where I asked the Lord to forgive me and come into my heart and save me. It's just been that nagging question. And Lord, help that to be settled today. Help us to be, as a church, me as a pastor to reach out a helping hand and help them up to a no-so salvation. I know in whom I believed. I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Paul said, I know the Lord, and I know He will keep my soul, my salvation. I know He will keep my home in heaven. I'm trusting in what He can do. One here today that's not sure about their salvation, may they come forward and allow us to take the Bible. Give them a Bible reason for their salvation. And Lord, for the Christian here today, primarily this is the message. Some may think, you know, maybe I've been a little half-hearted in my walk with the Lord. I'm not walking the mountaintop experience. I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord when it comes to the will of God. Maybe today would be a good day just to come and say, Lord, here am I. I want to be used by You. I want to be, God, where You want me to be. I want to be on that mountain, the mountain that the Lord has for me. So God, speak to hearts. Maybe somebody has a name on their lips today in their heart. Son, a daughter, a mother, a father, a cousin, a relative, a friend, a co-worker. They need to pray for their salvation or pray for them as a Christian because they know they're not walking in the will and the way of God. May they come this morning. Today would be a wonderful day to call upon the Lord and ask the Lord, somehow show me how I can be a helping hand to reach out to this one that I love, this one that I care for, this one that I'm concerned about, or send somebody that can, but we need to pray for them. So whether it's pray for ourselves or pray for another, may God have Your will and Your way as we offer the invitation today, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.